Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 39 to 46. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." So far, so good text. In Christ Jesus, who prayed for his Father's will to be done, even in the face of suffering and sorrow, dear fellow redeemed. This morning, we go to another of our Savior's passion places. It's a well-known place, the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a place where Jesus is praying to his Heavenly Father, and he submits himself to his Father's will. The heart of the scene is Jesus' humble obedience to his Father's plan for our salvation. But in this scene, we also see the disciples struggling to pray. And so Jesus encourages them. They are overcome with sorrow. So Jesus not only encourages them, but he shows them suffering for salvation, which reveals to them, to us, the important gift of prayer. Periodically, our society tells us that we should simplify our life. Simple is better. Simple is easier. It's more profitable. Throw out what's unnecessary, keep what is. Companies are downsizing. Many products simply say, all natural ingredients. And author Robert Fulghum wrote a book entitled, "All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten." There's a call today to become more simple. Turn to the basic essentials of life. And it's believed that if you keep things simple and not struggle for more and more and more things, that simplicity of life will make life easier. Simplicity produces serenity and peace. And yet, very often, the simplest and the most basic things in life can cause the greatest struggles. Take, for example, these simple words. "I love you, and I do." Simple words, but simple words that promise a lifetime of commitment. A lifetime of saying, "I'm not going to be concerned about my interests, my needs, my desires. I'm going to be concerned about the interests, needs, and desires of another person." Simple words, yet a hard commitment. When disagreements or differences of opinions occur, it's hard to submit yourself to someone else. Should I fight for my rights and my way, or give way to the one I love and am committed to? Easy, simple words, yet not simple to fulfill. In marriage, we promise faithfulness, love, and serving, in richer or poor, in sickness or in health. But when those poor times and those sickness times come, is it easy? Sometimes the simple things in life produce the greatest struggles. Well, Luke, in our text, is showing Jesus in his prayer with his Heavenly Father, and he's in anguish and agony over his simple way of life. His simple way of life is simply letting the Father's will be done in his life. He's allowing his Father's will to be done in his life, which means he's praying for his Father to damn him. Condemn him. For him to die and suffer upon the cross for the sins of the whole world. That's what this prayer is saying in our text. One line long. We read again. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's all the actual prayer that we hear. It takes less than 10 minutes, 10 seconds to say it. And Jesus was then done praying that prayer. And then Luke goes on with the rest of the story. We can't even comprehend the agony and the anguish in the heart and soul of Jesus. And perhaps that's why Luke goes on and kind of tells us, kind of explains to us how agonized Jesus was. He fell to the ground on his knees. He was very earnest in his words. We're told that his sweat dropped like great drops of blood to the ground as his life was being poured out to this prayer. And even an angel from heaven came down to strengthen him. So, what did Jesus say in all of his anguish? Let's read it again. One simple statement. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, Luke summarizes this here. We know that in the other Gospels, Jesus said the same thing in similar words and said it three times. How long did Jesus pray this? We don't know. But the first time he prayed it, at least long enough for him to come back and find out the disciples had fallen asleep. And again, long enough the second time, long enough the third time, because they fell asleep again the second and third time as well. Jesus may have been in anguish of prayer for several hours during those dark, agonizing early morning hours of Good Friday. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors yourself. Care for your children. Respect and love and be faithful to your spouse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Those two are simple words. Simple words to guide our life. And if we've said, I will, to those simple commands, we realize how great a struggle it is in our life to be obedient to our parents, to watch your father suffer and die from cancer, to see your children turn away from you in rebellion, or see one of them become extremely ill. If you're picked on by a fellow worker over and over again, said, going to work is a real burden. To be bullied at school, to feel all alone and lonely, that's an agony that almost overwhelms us. And the nights of prayer can become extremely long. Sometimes words fail. We say the same words over and over again. In fact, we heard in our scripture reading, the Holy Spirit takes those groanings of ours and takes them to the Heavenly Father so he knows what kind of anguish and agony we have in our hearts. Emotions fill our hearts. Our eyes overflow with tears. Sorrow at what's being lost. Fear at what could happen. Hope for what might be. Confidence that God is watching, but still uncertain it's going to all work out. Anger at our situation. Compassion and love for our loved ones. Longing for it all to be over, and yet dread that it might come to an end. We watch. We pray. We cry. We fear. We tremble. And then exhaustion, we fall asleep. Sometimes there's so much agony that, just like the disciples, we can't handle it any longer. We simply fall asleep. Luke tells us the disciples slept. Why? He found them sleeping from sorrow. There are times in lives when we're brought to this place of agony and sorrow, sometimes by the simplest things. Desiring to do the will of God, the simple will of God, can lead to anguish, can lead to sorrow, can lead to exhaustion. But there we see our Lord. He's awake. He's still praying. While the disciples sleep from sorrow, Jesus is still praying. While we fall under the weight of the struggle and fail to keep his will because of our weaknesses, our Savior does it for us. He prays, he rises, he wakens his disciples, and he does his Father's will. By showing us this contrast, Luke is showing to us that there's one thing stronger than all the strongest sorrow and grief and anguish and agony in your heart ever. And that's the strongest of love. God's love for us, that sent his Son into this world, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love for us is so very simple, yet so powerful. The Father wills to give up a Son. The Father wills to condemn and damn his own Son, punish his Son, forsake his Son, because of his great love for us. And the Son is willing, desire to do his Father's will, so that everyone would be saved. Only God could love like that. Only God could serve like that. A Father's love, a Son's obedient service, and the fulfillment of will salvation is all seen in this place, this garden. Jesus offers up to his Father in agony this prayer of willing submission to the Father's will. And one thing that Luke wants us to know in recording this prayer is that God's love is stronger than any sorrow or grief or love or anguish or suffering or temptation in our life. In loving obedience, Jesus wills, submits to the Father's will, and he says, "Your will be done." Our theme again, Jesus enters our places of sorrow and makes them places of his strength. Our Savior's will overcame our human weakness that night. His love makes our place of suffering and sorrow a place of strength. And that's our comfort. Because tomorrow, we're going to go back into life where the simplest things can also bring about struggle, maybe grief, maybe sorrow, agony and anguish. But God's love is greater than our sorrow. God's love is greater than our strength. In fact, in our weakness is God's strength. Because God forgives you. He called you to be his own people, his own children, and he gives you strength to prevail. We're told, "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" There is nothing in this world that God's love has not conquered. And we can never be separated, as we heard in Paul's letter, never be separated from God's love. Your life, my life, is in God's hands, and we're in the hands of not only the one who created us, but the one who redeemed us, the one who loves us most of all. Jesus conquered our weaknesses that night in the garden, so there's nothing that can separate us from our Savior's love. So when we're in those long, lonely nights of prayer, going through anguish, or agony, our Father listens to us because of Jesus. As we said, the Holy Spirit even takes our groans to our Heavenly Father, who hears and answers all our prayers. And on those nights when we fall asleep in agony, we still fall asleep in peace. In the peace of God that passes all understanding. Remember that when we enter into the places of sorrow, places where we struggle or fail to carry out God's will, Jesus carries, Jesus bears our weaknesses. His prayer, his work for us, turns our places of sorrow into a place of strength. So, keep on praying. Keep on struggling. Knowing that we're members of a kingdom where God watches over us, even while we are sleeping. He's prepared a place for us, a place that we can turn to where there's strength, where there's confidence, where we can be built up in those times of agony and suffering and anguish. His word, his powerful word of promises and of salvation alone through Jesus Christ. May we all continue to rest in his powerful love. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.